You're on.
Good evening. It is 5:02 on Tuesday, May 7th, and I will call to order the Pacific City Joint Water Sanitary Board of Directors Business Meeting. We are at the authority headquarters, and let's call the roll. Sean Lambert.
Here.
Cameron Bogus.
Here.
Sean Carlton.
Here.
Anna Price.
Here.
For the record, all directors are present. Item 3A, minutes of the April 2nd, 2019 business meeting. Any questions or corrections?
I have one correction that I emailed Rochelle about, and she made the correction in the minutes. It'll be signed tonight, so I'll just point out for your all of your information on page 5 in the first full paragraph about, I have to find myself here, not quite halfway down, there was a line that said Director Price, she felt that they may not be inflating the issue based on stories, or maybe inflating the issue. The word I used was actually conflating, because my point was that I thought there was some confusion between the two issues. So I made that correction, and I believe it's in the minutes.
And then I found one correction, I believe on page 4 of 6, second paragraph down toward the end, where it says the maximum contaminant level for asbestos in drinking water was 7 billion fibers. I think it's 7 million
yes,
fibers.
It is.
And did you catch that already?
I don't think so.
Okay. And I'm sorry I didn't find that earlier. Any other corrections?
Then I'll move that we approve the minutes of the April 2nd, 2019 business meeting as amended.
I'll second.
Okay, there's been a motion and a second to approve the April 2nd, 2019 business meeting minutes as amended. All in favor?
Aye.
Abstain?
One abstention.
One abstention. All against? No? Okay. Minutes are approved. Item 4, financial reports. Accounts payable for 4-2, 4-15, and 4-30 of 2019. Any questions?
No, I have none. No. I'll move that we approve the accounts payable for 4-2, 4-15, and 4-30 of 2019.
Second motion.
Been moved and seconded that we approve the accounts payable for April 2nd, April 15th, and April 30th of 2019. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. Item 4B, fiscal year report. Any questions on fiscal year report? Any comments? Item 4C, fiscal year 1920.
So, as I noted in the manager's report, the budget for 1920 is almost done. It will be available by on Friday. We're still looking at a few items in the budget, so it's not going to be released until Friday, which is the published date for release anyway. But just in general, the engineering news record construction cost index is up by 2.3% right now. Right now, we are not proposing any increases in the sewer water rates. We are looking at increasing system development charges, the 2.3% by the CCI. And I don't know if the board remembers, but When we first started the capital improvement charge for this wastewater treatment plant project, the goal was to comply with a letter of conditions of rural development by the time we got to the end of this project. There's some things in that letter of conditions that allows for more time, and I won't bore you with all the intricate details. What it means is that we had a goal that we were going to establish this money by this time. And the plan at that time was if we did, then we would reduce the capital improvement charge. So right now we're looking at reducing the capital improvement charge for the wastewater treatment plant for residential by $10 a month and for businesses, et cetera, by $5 a month. So that's our proposal at this point in time. I don't see that changing between now and Friday. So, I mean, we accomplished that goal, and I feel pretty good about it.
Yeah.
I really do.
That's great.
So that's all that I have on the budget for now.
Worked according to plan.
Yep.
Okay. Any questions? All right. Item five, manager's report.
We already talked about the budget. The only other thing is, as I've noted, that after 6 months of advertising, we haven't really had any response to the assistant manager position that's open, and simply asking the board, do you want to reconsider alternative recruitment methods or stay with us for another 3 months, or what's your thoughts?
You're talking alternative. Methods, you're talking about hiring a recruiting firm, is that what you
like mean? Indeed or something like that. And I forget what the Michelle, do you happen to remember what it was?
I'm sorry, I doubt Michelle mostly did that project.
Okay. I don't remember exactly what that
what the cost of it was would be.
So I think it is around five.
I think what you said was about 5,000, so it's if you're going to go with a recruiting firm, in terms of a consulting recruiting firm, it's going to be much more than that. The Indeed.com gets you out there to a broader source of people, but they want their fees to help their systems be maintained and so forth.
Right.
Personally, I think we need to move forward with this. I don't remember the year, I think it was 2014 that you and Ann started on the committee in terms of working toward this position because we needed it at that point. We've been 5 years and we're struggling now with being able to do all that's on the table. And we need to get this position filled so that we can move forward with our projects and tasks.
Yeah, I guess I'd like to support the concept that in our organizational structure, the authority manager is the person who's responsible for personnel, which includes hiring, which includes making positions known and that sort of thing. And I'd like to give my support to Tony to go ahead with that if he thinks that that's the appropriate next step, since we've had a lot of exposure and we've gone to a great extent to contact people that we know by public records have appropriate background. So I think now is I'm comfortable with, if you decide to take that next step, I'm perfectly comfortable with that.
So are there, maybe things have changed since I've used them, but I thought a lot of recruitment firms, there was essentially a placement charge. So if they find you somebody, that's when you pay the fee. But now it's upfront. Is that the way it
it's
works?
Online, I think.
Yeah. I think
most
there's
of
different
it's
options. I think you can still go with a firm.
Right.
But I think that firm usually takes a retainer from you, and then you pay them up front for filling the position, too. It's a two-part process. At least that's what I'm familiar with.
And I think that, if I remember correctly, that Rochelle looked into, like, Profim. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that I recall what the results were from that. It was just, you know, Indeed was a lot less expensive, mm-hmm. and that might be a good, you know, first step. So
So you could look into that with her and make a decision on what you thought was most appropriate.
Right. I will tell you, I think we talked about it before, there are a lot of places looking for personnel, and we've been getting, I personally and some of the crew have been getting recruitment stuff from Prothom and, you know, different cities and whatnot. It's pretty tight up there.
How much money have we spent for recruitment for this position?
Virtually nothing. I mean, maybe $300 or so.
How much was the mailing for the
mailing? Oh, you're right. You're absolutely right. That mailing was
$450,
and then we probably got another $200 to $300 in putting ads out in different places.
I'm still in the opinion that things are going to start settling down, and I still don't think we need an assistant manager. Granted, you guys started this process back in 2014, but...
Well, I appreciate you don't agree with the decision that we made, but the decision has been made. And it was made by a majority of the board. And so I think we could discuss the pros and cons of that for a long time, but we are where we are. The decision has been made, and we need to, in my opinion, we need to support the decision that we made and go ahead with it.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's just such a tight market, and not just for this.
For everything.
Yeah. So I think it makes sense to go the next step and use Indeed or the placement agency. I think recruiting, we knew from the get-go that this was going to be tough to recruit for.
Yes,
I think we're just seeing that.
All right, well, it sounds like you have majority support in everybody. Sean
Carlton.
Yes, yeah, I'm reluctant about it, but yeah.
Okay.
You're tasked with it, so I'll support you. And we had talked, I think at the last meeting, if we're still on manager's report, we're up to six SDCs.
Seven.
I forgot to change. Well, I apologize.
Yeah. I wondered about that when I looked at it, but I figured it, we'd bring it up. So
totally
we're up to seven.
Mind.
Yeah,
seven.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything else on the manager's report?
No.
Okay. Item 6 under new business, 6A, we have resolution 1901, which is interim financing closing. Are there questions or comments on the documents? Or Tony, do you want to present it first and kind of give us a little summary?
Basically, this is the resolution that needs to be adopted for rural development to, you know, authorize taking over and closing out our loans with BB&T for the first and the second interim. So this has to be executed to get the rest of the process rolling, which will include signing closing documents in Portland on the 21st.
So the ability to be able to do this on June 21st and take our interim financing, close that out, this with BB&T, and to roll that into the bonds through USDA, the fact that we're doing it now and not after July 1 is going to save the community $73,000. It's taken a lot of effort, I know, by both Tony and Michelle to get this documentation ready and keep this project going, so that we can do that, and I really do appreciate that. Any other comments or questions?
Super Bowl savings.
And I'll move that we, now I need to, before I make the motion, I do need to read the full text.
Yes, correct. Yes.
Okay. I'll move that we approve resolution number 19-01. A resolution providing for the issuance and sale of the Pacific City Joint Water Sanitary Authority Oregon Wastewater Revenue Bond Number 1 in the principal sum of not to exceed
$8,710,000 to the United States of America, acting through the United States Department of Agriculture, Rural Utilities Service, for the purpose of providing a portion of the costs to finance capital improvements to the authority's wastewater system, providing for the form and terms of said bond, and authorizing the payment of same.
I'll second the motion.
It is moved and seconded that we are approving resolution number 19-01, a resolution providing for the issuance and sale of the Pacific City Joint Water Sanitary Authority, Oregon, wastewater revenue bond number 1, in the principal sum of not to exceed $8,710,000 to the United States of America, acting through the United States Department of Agriculture, Rural Utilities Service, for the purpose of providing a portion of the cost to finance capital improvements to the authority's wastewater system, providing for the form and terms of said bond, and authorizing the payment of same. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Item 7A, wastewater treatment plant improvement project.
As I've noted, we're almost at substantial completion with the project, which means that everything that was designed and put into the project is now usable and usable for its intended purposes, basically. We're really close on it. We still have a few things that need to be attended to, and before we can actually give notices, or before we can approve substantial completion, I will have rural development, review all of the aspects of it as well. There's still things that are remaining, and that is including evaluating alternative bid items. We had several alternative bids that we could not afford. It currently appears as though we may have some money left over that we can potentially do some of the alternative bids, but it's not guaranteed at this point in time, and it would have to be with the approval of rural development.
When does that have to be used by?
They've had projects where they have carried them out for a year or two. It did just the same kind of situation where the project itself was done, there were some money left over, and they,
So some of the things that got taken off of the list that
right.
were originally proposed
right.
can be put back on.
And is that because we didn't use the contingency fund that was required by USDA?
We have not expended all of the contingency, that's correct. And then there are some other items where we're saving money just through the contract. There are certain things they did not have to perform, so we're saving money there as well.
So there's no, is there a timeline that we got to use that up by, or?
Okay. I mean, they're not going to let it, go on for 5 years.
We want to get it done as soon as
we can. Yeah, we want to get it done as soon as possible.
And those pieces that we have an opportunity to add back in were already bid and have set amounts. So there isn't up for discussion as to what's included and what's not, or how much it's going to cost.
And they're not going to change the bid.
They can't.
Okay, it's not like a 90-day thing, or we're going to rebid this.
No.
Okay.
No.
Any other questions?
Thank you. Item 7B, community engagement and outreach. So in your packets, you have some information that gives us a little bit of history in terms of, I didn't add the dates of community, but just in terms of what we as a board did. And it was in 2016 that we started talking about community outreach and how we might improve upon communicating with the public and so forth. And so we consulted with Judy Clark from SBAO about some options in the process. We sat down with SBAO's Rob Mills and did a board practices assessment. And we also created a 2017 list of community outreach actions that we wanted to do while we worked on the other policy components. And so as we reviewed with specifically with Rob Hills, one of the things that came out of that was that we had master plans for water and sewer that addressed the capital improvements, but we didn't have a strategic plan that included how we interface with the public and some of the other bits and pieces. And so we then went that next step and completed the draft strategic plan. And one of the components in that draft strategic plan was a community outreach piece. And so as we talked about that community outreach piece, that was when we reached out to Ryan Fleming and got some help from him on how do we identify, what is that, what does that look like? And I think it's, at least to me, was important to learn that the board needs to identify what the overall policy is and the goals of the plan, and then that plan goes to staff and they get to implement it and put the pieces in it, as opposed to the board saying, well, geez, we think we should have this many meetings and do this action and this action. That those are those specific details of things that staff will pull together, and then we get to measure whether or not those were successful by the overall policy and plan that we have in place. So we are at a juncture where I believe that the board has not yet put that policy and overall plan into place. We've had conversations with, I think the board started in called Lee Weinstein. He wasn't available. We talked with Anorectic Taylor from ART. And we have her documentation at the end of this packet that talks about how she perceives she could help us do that. And we've talked about it at the last meeting a little bit, and board members wanted a little more time to review the information here to identify whether or not it was appropriate to go forward with specifically with her. So, what are your thoughts at this point?
Well, my thought going back and reviewing this stuff and spending some more time on the stuff with Anna Richard Taylor was, and I like the new information that she sent, and what I found myself wondering, and in my opinion, I think what would be a good idea is to, you know, approach this in a similar way that we approached the strategic plan of Ryan Fleming, and that is have her do an assessment of our community outreach to date. You know, have her give us an idea of whether or not we're good, bad, or indifferent at interacting with the public and how we've been doing so far. And so almost a little bit of a, almost like a pre-phase, you know, if you look at kind of her outline, you know, almost an additional pre-phase of doing analysis of what our current state of community outreach and public relations is. Very similar to how we did with Ryan Fleming, where we gave him our current authority manager review process, had him look at that, give us some feedback, and then help us develop the next thing. I think it'd be useful to do with the public relations aspect of it. Have an outside person that is not a member of the board look at how we've been doing things in the past and say, well, here's what you're doing right, here's what you're doing wrong, here's how you can improve things, here's what's normal, here's not what's normal.
And out of that, develop the plan.
Yes. Excuse me. So I would say, you know, if we're going to do this in the scope of work, this needs to be this would precede the phase one strategic plan. So this would be an analysis of our current level of community outreach.
Like a pre-assessment then?
Anybody else?
I like that idea. I think some of our discussion from before, she might have some notes from that she could start working on that. But I think, you know, some type of workshop with us, maybe just kind of brainstorm and pick our brains and pick her.
And then take that back and then respond to us and give us an outline of what she thinks is working well. And
we can give her an overview of what we've done in the last couple of years for community outreach. You know, the poll that we did, the online poll that we did, the community outreach, press releases, all of these kinds of things, and she can look at this stuff and give us an idea of where we stand.
Well, she did on that community engagement plan for 2017.
No, that was before we contacted her.
Oh, that was before.
Yeah. So it sounds like, go ahead, Cameron, did you have something else you wanted to add to that?
But then there's the 2018, that next page.
So those were documents that were generated internally.
Okay. And your thoughts?
I'm okay with that idea. I think it worked well in the other instance. So we've had some good experience with people working in that way. And I'd be happy to take that as a first step.
So would we want to say at this point that I pull things together for her that she might not have, label it, give her a packet that she can spend maybe 2 hours reviewing, and then set up a workshop for 2.5 hours where we can talk about those things and look at going on to the next phase, 2.5-3 hours?
Yeah, I think as long as we make sure to include, you know, all the stuff that we've interacted with the public on, you know, any of the press releases we've released in the last couple of years, the poll that we did,
the community meetings,
you know, that kind of stuff.
The open houses.
Well, so let me ask you this, in terms of when we do a list or provide her with information about community meetings, she gets the minutes of the community meeting, and there isn't anything else to add to that, is there?
That includes who's attending.
Who's attended, yeah.
Well, didn't she go through some of that stuff, our board meetings? And
a little bit.
Some of that.
She did a little bit, but not a comprehensive piece of these particular components.
I think another component to the community meeting is how it was presented as an option, what we did to let the community know that it was happening, what was said in those announcements, that type of thing.
So pulling a packet together like that is probably, we're looking at internally 4 to 6 hours worth of work of pulling documents together and so forth. Is there somebody that wants to take that? You know, I don't mind pulling together what I've already got here and maybe adding a few more things to it, but to really formalize something that is...
What if we start with what you've already got, and then I can look at that with you.
Okay.
And then we might
add a few more things to it.
Rely on Michelle in particular, because I think she probably was involved in actually making a lot of those things happen. So...
All right, we'll do our best to get there, and then I will, based on what sounds like is a majority here, then get back in touch with her and see if we can get a workshop on the schedule for us to attend with her, and pick out some dates and do a poll and see what we can come up with. Are there times or dates better or totally off limits for anybody at this point?
Not flexible.
Okay.
Fridays are generally not good.
Okay, no Fridays. Got it.
No Thursdays. Or
at least by noon. Let's okay. Before noon on Thursday?
Well, nothing after 1 o'clock. Or
probably during business hours might be better for her anyway, because she's going to have to come from Portland. Yeah. So,
okay. We'll work with that and see what we can do.
right, cool. Thank you. Item 7C, board member roles and responsibilities. So the last, I hope I got this right, the last two pages of your board packet, the last three pages of the board packet, we're talking about adding information on abstentions to the board duties and responsibilities. And I have language there on page 748. Has anybody got any?
47 or 48.
47 or 48. Well, that's what my document tells me. Is that 47 or 48?
Mm-hmm.
47, 48, or 49?
Well, your PDF pages.
Or my PDF pages, yeah.
I don't have that. I don't think that was in my packet.
The last two pages of your packet?
No.
There's three.
What are the last two written?
Mine are the draft for their community engagement. I have nothing on any of the stuff that you had.
Did your printer run out of paper?
No,
I printed it, and it should have been the exact same board packet that I have and Rochelle have.
I have nothing.
Could you pass that down to Cameron, please?
Yes.
Let's see.
In blue?
It's got blue on it.
It doesn't look like he's got it in his notebook.
I don't.
This is, I think, what we're talking about.
Yeah,
I don't.
So there's the paragraph there that comes directly out of the public meeting law appendix, so that wouldn't be anything that we would be editing.
What are we talking about?
The paragraph under language that says abstention is appropriate for board approval of meeting minutes if the board member was not in attendance at the meeting in question. Abstention from a vote on an issue might be appropriate. One, if the board member had been absent the previous meeting and had been unable to review the information that had been under discussion at the meeting when he or she was absent, or if a stated conflict of interest related to money existed.
So that's existing language.
That's proposed language. That and the above is the proposed language to go into
the blue and this.
That's
these
proposed.
Two paragraphs. Yeah. The proposed language that we asked her to put together for.
Or to go into our roles and responsibilities.
You did have it. Yeah.
Okay. But it's not blue.
Do you want this one? It's in blue on the front page. The other ones are black and white.
So I think the language addresses the conversation that we have and common practice. And
it's not currently in SDAO's best practices board duties and responsibilities. Is that correct?
Correct. Abstention is not clarified in SDAO's board duties and responsibilities that we adopted as Exhibit 1.
But it is in public meeting law.
So are you saying that the blue is directly out of the Attorney General's Public Records and Meetings Manual?
Correct.
So all we're talking about is the paragraph below it.
Correct.
Is the proposed.
Yes.
Well, proposed that both paragraphs would go into our document.
Correct.
But the blue is not something we would edit because it's...
This is the next question, is format. Where do we want to put it in the information? We've included those two pages following this. Do we want it under voting, or do we want it under parliamentary procedure, part of the decorum and participation obligations of the public and board members?
My instinct was voting, too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where I've seen this type of thing in other board like bylaws of organizations and things like that. That's where I'm used to seeing it anyway. So, unless we had a...
Let's see, this will be with Karen.
So if you abstain, you have to give a reason why you're abstaining. Correct? We're going back to the January 2nd meeting when I abstained in my abstention that I didn't have enough information on that, and that's why I abstained. So.
I don't think we're looking at any particular one incident. I think what we're doing is, as we said when we put the board duties and responsibilities forward, that this was, you know, our best practices at this point, and we would continue to edit them and improve them as questions came up about it. And so a question did arise.
So this is a refinement of our existing document.
But to answer your question, I don't know that we answered your question, that if you are abstaining from voting on, say, the minutes of a meeting that you are not present for, you would need to state that, correct?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And if you're abstaining because you have a conflict of interest, then you need to state what the conflict is. Is that correct?
Correct. Right.
And those are essentially the two areas where abstention is appropriate. Is that correct?
It is correct, but I think it'd go one step further that it has to be a particular conflict of interest.
Right.
And that has to do with money. It's just not, I don't like my neighbor, and that's a conflict of interest.
Right.
Well, and from my understanding, that you could abstain because you didn't have enough to get enough information on whatever the vote.
Only if it's related to missing a meeting and not having had the time to understand what the board had done, but within the last meeting, it's not.
I think we need to be careful with that. I don't.
If the board, following parliamentary procedure, and this is my understanding, if the board calls for the vote, and then you do vote on it. Otherwise, there is a way to say, no, hold up the vote based on there isn't enough information.
You can table the issue.
Right.
But you can't have the vote called and then abstain from it.
Right.
And to table the issue, you're probably going to need a majority to do that.
Well, and let's be clear, it's not that you can't do it. It's just strongly recommended that you don't.
Right. And we try to be flexible.
And the Attorney General is pretty clear that you should.
Right. So it's the responsibility of an elected official to participate in the decision-making process. And that decision-making process is played out through voting.
And I think our decision-making process, I mean, usually when one of us says, wait a minute, I want to look at this more, I want to think about it more, we tend to informally table it until the next meeting. So
yeah.
Our past practices show that we're very open to making sure that all of us have the information. It's not a, I don't think it's a explanation put into rules and responsibility to try to catch anybody up in any way, shape, or form. It's just to clarify that abstention is not the way to go, that we've got to do it in a different direction.
So this would we then have to adopt 1703 all over again with this new language, or can we just adopt this new language and insert it into the...
Yeah. That's the way that it was set up originally, so the board had this possibility.
So we'll need a motion in terms of the language and
proceed with this proposal. Okay, I'll move that we proceed with the refinement of the PCJWSA board responsibilities document to add the language as proposed.
Would that be under voting?
Under the section on voting, yes. Thank you.
The second motion?
It has been moved and seconded that we proceed with the refinement of board duties and responsibilities by adding the language in our packet regarding abstention to the voting section of our document. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
Nay.
Okay. No abstentions.
Motion passes. All right. Moving on. Okay, so it is time for item 8, guest comments. And thank you all for being here. I appreciate it. I want to remind people that there are the, our rules for conduct of public meetings in the slot there, and that because of a number of reasons, we are going to keep it to each speaker with 3 minutes or less at this point, and you're welcome to ask any question or talk for 3 minutes and give us your opinion. And I'll probably at the 2.5 minute level we'll like tap so you know where you are, because we do want you to get all of your information in. So at this point, who would like to share something with us? Yes, and please state your name for the record.
I'm Nancy Bush. I talked to you at the chamber meeting, and I told you that my water hasn't been drinkable unless I filter it and by water, and you just said sorry. I'd like to know why you didn't offer to send somebody over to get my water. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's, I know there's a lot of chlorine in my water. Maybe that's why I can't drink it. But I just thought that perhaps instead of just telling me we're sorry, you could offer to send somebody.
Thank you for your question, and I'll do my best to answer that. I think our conversation entailed a little bit more than that.
No.
I am also still sorry that you're not getting the water that you would like to have. The challenge at this point is I don't have any control over the water after it leaves the meter, and I don't have any control personally before it leaves the meter, but the district responsibility is to the community as a whole, and it goes to the point of the meter. Is that, and let me check in with Tony to, is that correct, how I'm saying that?
Basically, yes.
I didn't understand that. Just a comment would have helped. As it was, it made me feel like you didn't give a damn.
Well, I'm sorry.
And then I brought up about the asbestos pipes. And as long as we're there, is there any plans on any future date of some sort to change the asbestos pipes in the area? Pacific Street. I have mesothelioma, and that, I don't know if any of that asbestos comes off in my water or not, but it's there. And I just thought I'd bring these two things up because it's really bothered me since then.
Okay. Well, all I can tell you is that it was in the manager's report. I forgot to discuss it, but with the conclusion of this project, I have asked our engineering firm to come up with a scope for updating the master plans and the SDCs. And I was at their office last week for a good portion of the day going through how that scope needs to look, and specifically discussing with them the issue of AC pipe in our system, and that is a priority. But you also have to understand that projects don't happen overnight. It takes a lot of engineering. It takes some way to pay for the project. It's got to be funded somehow. So there's a lot of components we go into projects, and after we get an updated master plan and the board has a chance to look at it in more detail, it will be a board decision as far as what projects they want to do and prioritize. Mm-hmm. There seems to be this concept in the community that we don't want to replace the AC pipes, and that is completely false. completely false. We want them replaced as much as anybody else does. The reality is that I am the project manager for doing projects like this wastewater treatment plant. We don't have another project manager. I cannot do two or three or four very large projects all at the same time. It's just not possible, Nancy.
Oh, I know. I understand that.
And it's unfortunate. And the only way to overcome that is to actually hire a project manager to come in and do that work if I'm on another project already.
I understand. You have a lot to do. I just have these questions because because of my situation.
Sure. I understand that, Nancy. I want to be very clear to the community. We want these AC pipes replaced as well. And it's that simple.
Do we have any kind of ballpark concept of how much it costs to do a replacement of AC pipe on a linear feet level or anything?
No. I mean, because you have a long Groton Road north of the four-way, which is going to be more expensive than north on Cape Kiwanda Drive, where you're not working, you know, in water all the time. Mm-hmm. And the technology one might use along the river could be completely different than what you would use up here. And I can tell you that along the river, it's going to be very expensive. Very expensive.
And why is that? Just because of the...
Because of the groundwater. Having to work in that.
The water table is higher, so you have to dewater the...
Yes. So on the east side of the river versus the west side.
Yeah.
Correct. In some places.
Which is really an elevation thing, right? I mean, it's an elevation thing, right? That basically what causes the groundwater because it's so low.
Correct. Yeah. And you've got a river right there, obviously.
Okay. Anybody else? Yes.
Long and Pustrigan, PC Heights. I wanted to say I've given everybody, or most everybody here, a handout that includes information when I went over the updated 2009 master plan. I'm glad to see you disclose some of the asbestos cement pipes in your press release and the PC Sun article in April. But as you look at the paper that I've given you, you haven't disclosed all of them. And also, there needs to be some kind of a description that was very vague in the PC Sun and, of course, didn't include all of the other AC pipes that I found. You need to tell the public where they begin and where they end. I've provided the board, as I said, the median guess with a copy of which ones have not been replaced and are in active use, and two that have been abandoned. We also need to know when they are designated to be replaced, which Tony was talking about the updated master plan. These questions should have been answered long ago, and it has been unnecessarily complicated and frustrating. A kind of stonewalling or deflection every time we bring it up, or absolute silence. The board has a responsibility to make this process easy for ratepayers by providing answers to our questions when they are first asked. You know, basically, you know, you're talking about the community outreach person and you're concerned about public image. These are the kind of things that show people, you know, whether you're representing everybody's interests and whether you're trustworthy, okay? Since Tony said he had no idea at a board meeting about how old the asbestos pipes were, and then the PC Sun, you had the 60s and the 70s. How did you come to...
From our project prints.
Okay. So did it say
that's
exactly...
That's my conclusion.
Okay.
That's my conclusion from looking at project prints.
Okay. That you thought it was either the 60s?
Some of the stuff I had no idea when it was put in.
Oh, no, I know. It was long before. How far back do your records go for that?
Accurate records?
Yeah, accurate. Well, you know, I'm sure you have them in boxes somewhere, you know, old records that are nice.
Well, we cocktail napkins.
Yeah.
Cocktail, okay.
We have our maps sorted.
Okay. So do you know, do you have some kind of idea how far back you've seen material?
I've seen stuff back from the early 60s.
Early 60s, but nothing prior to the 60s.
Nothing that I can say definitively is that's it.
Thank you, Robin. Anybody else? Yes.
Question I asked last meeting was where the asbestos pipe that had been replaced, where it was disposed of. And how it was disposed of, you told me at that time that you couldn't tell me. You didn't explain why you couldn't, but you couldn't, but you tried to get the information. So what I'm asking is, did you get the information and can you tell me now?
That is an issue that we are dealing with. What I am going to say is that we are working with DEQ on a couple of matters. What I am going to say is that they have done some evaluation of some things, and they have found, as it said in the press release, verbatim, Oregon DEQ has conveyed to PCJWSA its satisfaction with the authority's action and current procedures. The ODEQ relayed to PCJWSA that they did not find any risk to human health or the environment connected to the authority's handling of asbestos-containing material. So, right now that's about all we can say until we have a resolution of some items from the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality. We cannot legally discuss anything more about it other than what is in this press release.
Okay, the guy named Zeb said that their investigation of the asbestos pipe was complete. But while they were doing that, you guys also got a warning about something that wasn't being done with the a new outfit out here. And you were going to be getting another warning. It was a warning, and you might not have gotten it yet, but it was a reminder of what you were supposed to do and be doing. Will you confirm that, or deny it, or answer?
I have no comment.
You can't tell me again, huh?
Before you do that,
I'm sorry, Robin, you've had your comments, and that's
limited. Well, this pertains to that question.
I'm sorry.
We're only allowed 3 minutes each
person. That's our rule of conduct.
You guys,
that's a control. Man, that is...
Anybody else? Dave, I thought you had your hand up.
Yeah, I'm just a little concerned about, in the future, my water rates as a homeowner and business owner going up because of this fake news about asbestos, and we have no proof of any asbestos in the water. There's no proof here, Robin. We test all the time. There's no... There is no asbestos at this point. I'd like to see the pipe replaced, but if it's going to cost millions and my water rates are going to double, I mean, all these people want to have the water rates reduced, but we're talking about things that are going to raise our rates, not reduce them. And until I see proof that we have a problem,
then...
Mr. Baxter, if you
I'm
would
sorry,
like...
order, please.
I would love to read this.
Thank you. And anything
thank
else?
You.
They're paying attention to
that, me. That'll do it right now. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Yes, sir.
My name is Bob Elledge. I was curious. I see Tony, or in one of the articles I read, said you're going to try to update the asbestos annually rather than every 9 years, test for it in the water system. No?
I'm sorry, what? You tell me again what your question is?
More frequent testing.
More frequent testing.
So you've seen information about that and you're wondering whether
it
that's...
Said in the minutes, I believe it was last couple months, someplace in there Tony was saying that he wants to do it annually. No? So we're still going to stay with 9 months,
that
9 years?
That's something that has come up for discussion, but not for me.
I brought it up at the last meeting. It was definitely not something that the board agreed with as a whole, but I brought it up. I'd like to see us test every year for it, but currently the standard is to test once every 9 years. But that was simply me expressing my individual opinion.
I agree. I think it should be.
I mean, someone stated it costs between $90 and $350 to do the test, which isn't very much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Anybody else? All right, then. Thank you. Item 9, director comments.
This was given to me by somebody that wanted me to read it. Just
is it signed?
It was given to me, and I did talk to the person, and I asked her how she wanted me to do this, and she asked me to read it. She was going out of town, and she was unable to.
So we do know who it's from?
Yes, we
okay.
Do. Okay. Do you want to read? Or should I just?
No, please go ahead.
To the PCJWSA board, I oppose Annette Cassiano Nettie being appointed to the budget committee for the PCJWSA. I oppose this due to her dishonesty and inappropriate actions and behavior.
I'm sorry. That is something that you cannot read into the record as a. It's a comment, it's an opinion. That vote has already taken place, and it is a negative action that you don't have any proof for.
And it's not a director comment.
It's not a director comment.
So that's at the director comment stage in the agenda.
What should you do with those? Those go to the authority manager. Thank you. Thank you, Ben.
Sure.
Did you have another comment?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Another person asked me to inquire the flushing back on Salal again. You guys were up there flushing water lines.
What's the question?
She wasn't notified, and I thought we were notifying people when we were doing...
Flushing water lines?
We have taken care of that. It's been resolved with my staff.
Oh, okay. I'll ask her about that. And it was also brought to my attention, and I'm bringing it up, in our rules of conduct for public meetings...
Yes.
Last month, an individual brought a dog into the building, and in any public building that I know, there are not dogs allowed in public buildings, and I would like to see a policy or something that we address that it would be, dogs can be in here, I think as a service dog, is that how the, I don't know.
That's something I would have to look into, and then the board would have to decide whether or not they want to adopt the policy. But so that's something we can look into.
Okay. And also, it was brought up about the cell phones last time. The policy for cell phones, all cell phones, pagers, and other mobile communication devices must be turned off, silenced, duration of the meeting. And it was brought to my attention that there was usage that, and I turned mine off and put it away. I know if I've got an emergency, I would say something, but I do believe that we should be, everybody should be adhering to this instead of looking at text messages and things like that. So I'm just bringing it to the board's attention.
Other director comments?
Yeah, I have some. Okay. I did, as per usual, have a lot of people come and talk to me whenever something comes up, especially with the articles in the paper and the press release. And I did have a lot of people talk to me about this asbestos cement pipe situation. There were a lot of people that were unaware that we had asbestos in my cement pipes in our system, and you know, I kind of explained what the basis was, where it came from, how long ago it had been installed. But the bigger the concern that I heard, and this gets back to your comment, was that there was a lot of surprise that we only test for asbestos every 9 years. So I just wanted to bring that up for discussion again. You know, it's definitely a concern in the community. It's something I've heard a lot about in the last month. And I just wanted to bring it up for discussion again. I think it would be a good idea to test for it more than once every 9 years.
Maybe what we could do is on next month's agenda, add it to the agenda item and talk about it. I know that maybe we might want to do a fact sheet on asbestos, get some information out there, post it on the website so that people get the right information about the issue. So adding it to the agenda for next meeting, then we can take a look at it.
As an agenda item for a topic of discussion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'd also like to interject, I know that this is for director comments, but to interject, there are a whole lot of water systems in the state of Oregon that are still using AC pipe, and looking at a lot of the testing results that I have seen is that these systems are all non-detect. I am actually trying to get a list right now, and because I would like to contact some of those communities directly and talk with their operations staff. So just,
yeah,
it's going to be a great, FYI. It would be a nice thing for the conversation.
It would. It'd be good to include. And you know, as I've said before, you know, I'm concerned that we have asbestos cement pipe, but the science doesn't concern me. The perception does. And so, you know, asbestos is something that has been a concern to a lot of people for a long time. You know, every town in America has billboards for lawyers, you know, wanting to get you some money for asbestos. So it's well known in society that asbestos is a problem. Even though there's a difference between friable and non-friable asbestos, it's still a concern. And so I'm coming from the aspect of it's a concern to the community. And it's a concern to the community, it should be a concern to us.
Well, if anybody's beat cancer once, you know, to even have a possibility of a remote chance of coming back, you know, it's that C word scares everyone, and it should. And I think we should do more testing. I think the cost, and we want to have a good relationship with the community, you know.
We'll put that on the agenda for a good discussion next time, because there is some additional science that I think we want to make sure that we share with the community and so forth. Because Robin did send some additional articles in, and I looked at all of those. And in fact, having to translate one out of Italian was a little bit of a challenge. But I got there. And we can discuss all of that next time. I don't need to go into it now. The comment that I had that I think is important, as you all know, we're about halfway through our payment on the Horn Creek bond. In terms of the number of years that we have to pay on that bond, that is a line item on your. I'm sorry, you have a question? Excuse me. Thank you.
That was a 20-year bond?
No, it was more than that because we've been paying on it for 12 years so far, so I think it's 25. My guess. So I think we're about halfway through it. So as you know, that's a line item on your property tax. The amount, the dollar amount you paid on your property tax on that line item in 2007 and what you pay now as of last November has been cut by more than half.
That's because...
And the reason being, there's two different reasons. 20% of that drop happened when we refinanced the bond. The rest of the drop happened because the property within the water sewer district boundary has increased by 80% during that same time frame. So that's because that assessed value of that property has gone up, you, even with your 3% increase per year on your property value, your payment has been cut in half, more than half. I think it's
65%. Was that all part of the bond, the redoing part of the bonds? And
we refinanced the bonds.
So we could get lower interest.
So that was at the 2.25? Or I'm thinking about the one for the treatment plant.
You're thinking of the treatment plant. It was 2.125.
But this is Horn Creek. Right?
But this is Horn Creek. So the in reality, your property tax as a total has not gone down. But the water sewer district line item has been more than cut in half since you first started paying for it. And I think that because the community was smart enough at that point to pass that GO bond, there are advantages to everyone that voted for that, and especially to those that are on fixed income, to have that happen. And I think that's a real advantage to how this authority operates.
Did you get that too?
Any other comment, board comments?
Thank you for pointing that out because it's... Because
it seemed 12 years, though.
It's good news. Okay. Item 10. We will recess for executive session under ORS 192-6602I to review and evaluate the employment-related performance of the chief executive officer of anybody, public office, employee or staff member who does not request an open hearing. Thank you all for coming.
Thank
you're welcome
all.
To
for being here.
Wait in the parking lot. We'll reconvene when we're through with the executive session.
Is he here?
Okay.
All right. It is 7:53 and we are reconvening the business meeting. And it is 7:53 and we are adjourned.